The Game 4 edition of Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden from Orlando on satellite radio, terrestrial radio, wherever you are around the world. You're here with us in our conversation with the head coach in the Zoom where it happens, brought to you by the Star Market Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas, download the Star Market mobile app, or visit starmarket.com. You can only imagine the conversation here in Boston the last 48 hours. It's always about the final play and not the 200 that came before it. But, you know, we get into everything here. We ask the tough questions. So I'll ask, and I'm not trying to get you to throw Danny under the bus, but is it possible you just didn't have a tall enough player to guard the inbound?
No, he did a good job. I will say Lowry had so much space, it didn't matter probably. But I do think, you know, that zone's been awfully good to us for 7 years. And, very, 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 very infrequently do we give up a shot, let alone a good one. And so it ended up a good one, and they ended up scoring, they ended up winning, and we moved on. You know, we got to be better in that situation, but, you know, our team is in a good place. Our team has a good mindset. We're ready to roll again. And we realize that if you want to be good in the playoffs, you just got to be able to tread through some tough stuff.
It's really funny you mentioned the space. I look back just for kicks because I have no life. I look back at the Jeff Green game winner, your seventh game in Miami, 2013, the great pass by Gerald Wallace, and, you know, across court hitting the three at the buzzer. And what struck me about it was, in a regular arena, Max and I just talked about this, how you have virtually no space at all. But here, and obviously you had this taco thing in the playbook, right? You had this idea to use it. But I'm sure you didn't realize when you finally used it that the inbounder would have 5, 6, 7 feet of space to be able to stand back to throw it.
Yeah. And, you know, like Wallace inbounded that a few years ago and had to throw it over his head, which is kind of the point. But, you know, hey, that is what it is. Lowry made it a remarkable pass. Ananobi made a great catch and great shot. And, you know, we weren't there. But at the end of the day, we've moved on. And we're gonna get ready to play game four.
Always curious your reaction after you watch a game. Max and I both, and we just mentioned it now, we thought in real time, even at the time, that the energy level at the start of the third quarter was different. It was one of the first times in the series it clearly looked different between the two teams. And we thought the game kind of turned then.
Yeah, I think all three starts of third quarters have looked different. You know, that's been the quarter that they've separated themselves in this series, in every game. And so we need to be a lot better in the third quarter than we've been. And, you know, it was very much – it has very much been a, you know, just what you said, kind of an energy, a downhill assertiveness by them. They had 5 layups in the first 5 minutes of the third. And, you know, layups are hard to come by against us when we're really dialed in. And so we need to just play better at the start of the quarter.
So we've been looking at some of the numbers. I think what people don't realize is that after the first quarter of game one, this has pretty much been a dead even series as far as the total points is concerned, the momentum, a lot of it. The shooting numbers are better for you than they are for them. So is it turnovers? Is it extra possessions? Why has the score, essentially, why has the games been even since the end of the first quarter of game one when the shooting numbers are probably pretty close to what you would want?
Both teams are really damn good. That's all I got to say to that. Like, they're really good. They turn us over because they're physical and tough and hard to play against. Our guys are giving it everything they have. And that would be my thought is both teams are really good. Both teams are hard to score on when they get their defense set, because, you know, that's what we've both hung our hats on all year. We've been fortunate enough to find a few more opportunities from a shooting perspective, but we have given the ball away more than normal. But, you know, I was saying this earlier to somebody today, like, it's too bad there's not an arena full of people watching these games up close, because these are great battles, great competition. Level of play is super high, intensity is super high. It's been a fun one so far.
Does any of that element that you just mentioned surprise you, given to me, these guys, the elite in the world on an empty island somewhere, are going to tear each other's throats out to win? Yet when you actually see it, the dynamic, and it must be something to see it 5, 6 feet away, the NBA elite playoff intensity with no fans. Yeah. Is this what you expected?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, anybody that's been in a gym where the best of the best are playing and no one else is watching know what those games end up looking like. Yeah. And, you know, some days you have practice days that you don't want to break a sweat, and it ends up in like near fist fights just because everybody's so competitive and so tough. Like, it's the beautiful thing about these guys. Like, that's something that, you know, the competitive nature of everybody on the court right now is high level. And, you know, that's the one thing I was just talking to somebody in here about. They're in the arena. Like, this is the competitive arena. And that's why I think our guys have such a great mindset heading into game four, because we know how hard it is. Like, we know what we're putting forth to have a chance to win. Yes, Thursday was, you know, heartbreaking in the moment, but, you know, I believe in this group's ability to respond, and I'm looking forward to it.
As the head coach, you and I have had many conversations on the air, many more off the air about different things and this life in the bubble for you the last couple of months. And I know you didn't want to be the guy to do it, but Mike Malone yesterday finally spoke, I think, on behalf of all of you about kind of sort of revealing that while players and even referees can have guests and family come, that coaches to this point have not been able to do it. He was really unhappy about it. I don't want to say, were you surprised he was the guy, but I'm sure you had to be nodding your head along with Mike Malone when he finally kind of, you know, let some of that stress go.
Yeah, I may have texted him after. I would say, Sean, I've been saying this since May. So, I mean, we knew any of us that were going to come for this amount of time, not just coaches, you know, training staff, you know, even the players, families just got here, if they did come at all. But obviously, like, it's quite a task just to come, because when you think about coming down and then having to quarantine for how many days and everything else. But yeah, so I've been talking about it for a long, long time, and it is what it is now. And, you know, I'm trying my best to just focus on my job and my task at hand and try to have our team play as well in game four. But it certainly is unique, and that's all I'm going to say about that right now.
We look forward to the day when you're comfortable saying more. In the meantime, game four is next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.